Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND. Bishop Jackson, who is normally our host, is traveling today, so I will be your host today. And so let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be on the call today. Thank you for each of these patriots, these warriors who are standing up for you, for your word, and for America. Thank you for Bunny Pounds. We thank you, Lord, that she is also a warrior for you. And we give you praise for those who are standing up and speaking out and doing the work that you've called them to do. We love this country. We know you love this country. America was your idea. You planted it in the hearts of the founders and enabled them to have the wisdom to write it all down and make it all happen. And as Ben Franklin said, it's a republic if we can keep it. And we desire to keep it. We desire to keep it in your name, that it be the shining city on a hill, that it be the way that you designed it, and not the way that people are trying to turn it into something that it is not, that it is not and should not be. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would work in us and through us today and in the days to come, so that we can indeed keep this republic. Again, thank you for the work that Bunny Pounds is doing, and for the work of Christians Engaged and all those who are fighting the battle to make sure that this election and all future elections are valid, are positive, are the way that that elections are supposed to be. Guide us today by your Holy Spirit. Give us the wisdom and the understanding to do what we need to do, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, our guest today is Bunny Pounds. She's the president and founder of Christians Engaged. She was a political consultant for 16 years and knows what she's talking about. Again, the task before us is to make sure that the evangelical community, for the most part, Christians in general, get out, vote their values. I don't know how many of you have seen the letter that went out yesterday from Bishop Jackson about the radio station in Atlanta denying us the right to simply ask Christians to vote their values. But if you haven't seen that, let me know and I'll make sure that you get a copy of it. We don't want to take any more time away from Bunny. So, Bunny, the floor is yours. You have 15, 20 minutes to share with us what's on your heart.
Well, thank you, Brother Marlon. It's just an honor to be with all of you today. Thank you for being Christians Engaged. You are already living out what we talk about every day, which is getting involved and caring for this nation deeply. I got to know Bishop Jackson a while back. We sat at a national prayer breakfast together about 4 years ago, and then have been in some major strategy meetings together with James Robison and other people, Andrew Womack Ministries and other places, and just so thankful for his leadership, just being a voice to speak to Americans that it is time to engage. And we believe, I know as Bishop Jackson does, that the church is truly the answer, that there's so many issues in the country, but you know, it really comes down to the church. We, the people, the body of Christ, the ones that know God, to be salt and light in the hands and feet of Jesus. So, as Brother Marlon said, I spent 16 years working for members of Congress. I was a political consultant, campaign manager, fundraiser, trying to get social conservative Christians elected at, you know, the federal level, the state level, and the county level, and really inspiring people to build a bench of leadership for our nation. In 2018, I ran for Congress myself for my former boss's seat, Jeb Hensarling's seat in Texas 05. And I did that because we didn't have a candidate. We couldn't find anybody that loved God, that was a social and fiscal conservative, that cared for the unborn, that cared for marriage, that cared for, you know, the economic issues in our nation, to actually run for Congress and to make a difference. And that led to a whole discovery that I already kind of knew in my heart, which was Christians are not getting involved, but I saw it in real time, in real numbers. I lost my runoff, went through an 8-person primary into a 2-person runoff, had $1 million spent on each side of my race. And I discovered of the 16 churches I spoke in that nobody in those churches, very few people in those churches, were talking Bible-believing, charismatic, Pentecostal, Baptist, cowboy churches. The people that should be with us were not voting. They did not vote in the primary. They didn't vote in the runoff. And we are losing opportunities when we are not voting in every election. You guys are on this call because I know you believe that, and I know you're the ones that are voting in your city elections. But there's much more happening than just a presidential election. We have the well-being of our communities to care for. You know, in Nehemiah, you know, as Nehemiah went back to repair the walls of Jerusalem, and he did that in 52 days, an incredible feat. You know, this is before cell phones and social media. He didn't have a way to communicate to them and say, hey, I'm coming to Jerusalem. I'm going to help mobilize you to repair the walls in 52 days. No, he got there and he just, you know, focused people in on their section of the wall. If you read Nehemiah 3 and 4, you'll see each family took care of their part of the wall. They didn't look at the whole big picture. So often we're like screaming at the TV, complaining about Washington, D.C., and we're ignoring the issues in our own community. And if every Christian would focus in on what they can do in their own community, they would really make a difference. So we started this ministry in the beginning of 2020, 4 years ago, Christians Engage. We built several things to help Christians in all 50 states, and I want you guys to use Christians Engage as a resource to activate your church and your network to pray, vote, and engage. Well, but we built a 50-state voter turnout communication system. So first of all, we send out voting reminders with a 5-step guide to print off your ballot, research your ballot. We do that when early voting begins, when early voting ends, 3 days before the election, and on election day for every election in the country. You can go to our website and see your state page and see the information there, but also activate people to take the pledge to pray, vote, and engage and get voting reminders around every election so we never forget an election again. We also send prayer alerts. We do a video every Monday. We teach people how to pray for government. You know, we're going to look up your mayor today, and we're going to pray specifically this scripture over our mayors. So often we disregard the importance of talking to God about what's happening in our country. And frankly, walking with members of Congress for many, many years, I can tell you they have no clue what they're doing, and they need your prayers. they get elected with their 3 points, and then they realize there's 1,000 other issues that they have to be confronted to, and it's overwhelming for our elected officials. So, you know, Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked man rules, the people groan. And 1 Timothy 2 commissions us to pray for all of our kings and all who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. It's so important that we pray and that we invoke, and then, as we talked about with Nehemiah, we start getting outside the walls of the church, being missionaries in our communities, and activating in that area. So that leads to the second thing that we built with Christians Engage. We've built over $200,000 worth of on-demand video curriculum to teach Christians how to activate for America. Our signature class is our On-Ramp to Civic Engagement seminar. It takes a Christian from not understanding anything through what is a political party, what is a platform, how do we get to know our elected officials, how do we advocate for our values, how do we understand issues from a biblical perspective and a biblical worldview, what's the First Amendment, how do we use the courts. Our friends at First Liberty Institute teach about the power of the courts and the freedoms that we have been given, specifically since last year's amazing Supreme Court case with Coach Joe and Denise Kennedy, where we have more religious freedom than we've ever had in the last 50 years in this nation. It's a great day to be alive. And then we teach how to actually share the gospel, how to love our neighbors, because we don't believe that political activity will save this nation alone. Only the gospel will save people and changing hearts and minds and worldviews. And then we teach how to walk with God in government and politics, and how to actually watch our souls and protect ourselves from the things that come against us in this space. So that class, we've had over 2,200 people take one of our long-form 6 to 8 hour courses. That's our signature class we recommend for everybody to get going. It's just $29. All of our classes are just $29 for a family, and you keep it forever. But we also have a local government curriculum called Salt and Light. We have a Bible study on the book of Nehemiah. We have a full campaign school now to help every Christian run for office in the country. It's a 20-hour campaign school. It's incredible, and we're seeing young people. We're scholarshipping 16 to 30-year-olds into that course, all of our courses, to get them activated and running for office. And then we also have amazing biblical worldview Bible studies on biblical justice, biblical economics, biblical worldview, and our latest class will be coming out in a couple weeks on biblical conduct. How shall we then live in a sometimes hostile culture? We have over 100 strategic ministry partnerships across the country, local churches, national ministries, and also family policy councils. We had a huge, huge thing happen July 1st, where this little pioneering ministry called Christians Engaged that we've been building for 4 years, we actually merged with Family Policy Alliance, started by Dr. James Dobson, out of Focus on the Family. Family Policy Alliance is the national organization that does education, advocacy, and activation towards pro-family, pro-life, and religious liberty issues in our country. Within our network, we have 41 state family policy councils, over 400 employees, and $55 million of infrastructure each year. And Christians Engaged is now their church and civic engagement ministry. And we're scaling already through 26 family policy councils around the country, taking our church outreach program, our education, and our Get Out the Vote system through those active group of amazing Christians that have been on the front lines of the battle across denominational lines, now helping them activate more Christians to pray, vote, and engage. And I'll give you guys a huge testimony. We have gone from 220,000 Christians, mostly in Texas, at the beginning of this year, to now over 500,000 Christians. And we have an aggressive marketing plan and outreach plan through the Family Policy Councils to reach 1 million Christians by the presidential election. We've got 5 more weeks to do it, but the funding is coming in for us to reach Christians around the country, specifically in battleground states. So we're doing incredible marketing across the country to reach low propensity Christian voters, but also helping specifically in the battleground states as well to activate more Christians. But the beauty of this is we're not only building a standing army of 1 million Christians for this election. It's not just about getting them out for this election, though that's critical that we, you know, choose between imperfect candidates and communicate to Christians. They have to make the hard choices and get out there and vote, understand that we're voting on values and biblical principles, not personalities, but also to activate them for every election. So instead of just throwing marketing money away just towards one congressional district or one election, we're actually getting Christians into our commitment to pray, vote, and engage ongoing and pushing them out to vote for their local elections next year and primaries in 2026 and beyond. So this is a game changer, I believe, for the body of Christ to build a standing army that will grow and grow and grow and grow. And we're so thankful for Bishop Jackson's support and his encouragement to even let me be on this call with you guys today. But I want to give you hope. You know, we do have to break people out of apathy right now. We we kind of, our little team, we kind of describe ourselves as revivalists in a way, in that, you know, repentance, discipleship is really what's lacking within the body of Christ. There's many issues that cause us to not pray, vote, and engage, but as I shared at our conference this last weekend, the root of the problem is discipleship. Are we being a disciple, and are we discipling other people? But it's critical that we all on this call stir our networks, stir our family members, stir the members of our church to realize that they truly have the answer. We have the answer inside of us. It's called Jesus, the Holy Spirit. When we were born again and we received the beautiful story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we became transformed, and His grace is empowering weak vessels. We, as weak as I feel many days, I am exhausted from the last couple weeks and couple months, I will tell you, and I can't stop for another 36 days. But as weak as we are, He makes us strong. And I believe that there's an awakening happening in our country right now. It's small. There's a remnant of us that realize what's at stake, and that we truly have the answer. But God's calling us to be disciple makers and to mentor and pull people along. And the Holy Spirit will be with us as we do that. So I want to encourage you in your call that you are here for such a time as this. I like to call myself, as a homeschooling mom, God called me into politics 20 years ago. And He called me to be a missionary to America. And so often we think of missionaries in China or other places in the world. And we frankly don't see ourselves as missionaries. We look for the pastor at our Sunday morning service to deliver the message. And we see people, we bring young people to Jesus and then put them on a pew and say, have a good life, listen to the message. And, you know, we kind of become institutionalized in the American church. But God is calling us on mission. He's calling us to step up as mothers and fathers of the faith to push people to discipleship and to pray, vote, and engage, and to be the leaders that He's called us to be. And that's truly what we're about at Christians Engaged. We're not a political movement. We're not a political organization. We're a ministry to raise up leaders and to build a bench of leadership of Christian leaders that will actively pursue Jesus in everything that we do. We'll submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, and be those leaders full of integrity, full of the Holy Ghost, ready to activate at any moment to see His presence fill our culture, to fill our government, to fill our city councils, our school boards, the halls of Congress. And I'm so proud of the Christians that are out there that are doing this stuff every day. You might not hear about the amazing stories all the time. We're very much undercover in a lot of ways, but let me give you hope that God is moving, and He's moving by His Holy Spirit. So keep praying, keep voting, keep engaging, however we can help you on that journey and help you be the leaders and call other people to leadership and empower them in the movement. We want to do that. So anyway, that's all I had on my heart, Marlon. Thank you for letting me share. And more than happy to take questions or whatever you guys want to do.
Well, thank you, Bunny. That was rich. Last week, Bill Federer was our guest on this call, and talking about some of the issues that Christians have with voting, in particular elections, politics, government. You mentioned a couple things. You said you mentioned discipleship. You mentioned apathy. In your experience, what would you say would be the number one reason why American Christians tend not to get involved, tend not to vote?
Well, I think number one is we still have this weird division in our hearts and souls that some things are secular and some things are sacred, and that our civic duties should not be under the lordship of Jesus Christ or our discipleship. And that truly is false. You know, I think we could all on this call be thankful that we don't live in North Korea, Venezuela, or Cuba right now. And it's really a stewardship issue. We forget that we've been blessed to live in the greatest nation in the earth. And we have an opportunity in this nation to raise our families, to worship as we choose, and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, I get up every day. I don't get up to mobilize Christians to vote just for the sake of voting. I get up to mobilize Christians to vote and pray and engage for the sake of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth and protecting our religious liberties, but also protecting our prosperity in this nation to do what we're called to do as Americans. Not that we're the only answer to the world, but we sure have been a huge blessing to the work of world evangelization. So, number one, just remind people that their whole life, even their civic duties, has to come under the discipleship, and if they're Christ followers, they need to think of this as a stewardship issue. And secondly, Marlon, I would say, you know, we sometimes think our vote's not going to matter. My vote's not going to count. People, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, in especially the conservative movement of 19 counties are going to change the election. Well, let me tell you, it's not just the 19 counties that are going to change this election. It's every person that votes every place. Whether you live in a blue city, whether you live in a purple city, whether you live in a red city, you need to be voting. And every one of those people on that ballot, all the way from president to dog catcher, needs your vote, believe me, and needs your participation. So don't think your vote doesn't matter. Don't let the enemy give you lies to think that that isn't going to make an impact. It will absolutely make an impact.
Thank you. Press star 6 to get in queue to ask your question or make your comment. Remember to keep it brief. I have one other thing that I was going to ask, and I think you referred to it in the sense of the sacred secular split. One of the things that Bill Federer mentioned was that there's an attitude in some of the church. I don't think it's as prevalent as we might think, but that government is evil. That government politics, politics is dirty. Politics. So I'm not going to get involved in that because that's getting involved in worldly things. And you kind of referred to that, but could you expand on that a little bit and add to it a little bit too, the attitude of some believers that, well, you know, Jesus is coming, the rapture is coming, and so we don't need to do anything.
Yeah. Well, first point is, yeah, I wrote a book called Jesus and Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. And I put that mudslinging profession in the subtitle because that is the idea most people have when it comes to politics and government. My own father, I was a pastor's kid growing up, grew up in a very apolitical home where, you know, I don't remember them ever talking about voting or what. They never had a yard sign in their yard about a candidate. And my dad, frankly, could not understand, why am I abandoning the call of God on my life? I'm called to be a Bible teacher. I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to be a worship leader. Why would I be abandoning the call of God on my life to get involved in politics? And it wasn't until he was on his deathbed about 8 years ago with cancer that I got to tell him a lot of the behind-the-scenes stories of my life. You know, I wanted to protect my clients and my members of Congress I worked for, but I got to tell him stories of me discipling elected officials and members of Congress and bringing them the Word of God, bringing them a prophetic word in right season, praying over them, being an intercessor for their families. And I'll never forget my father saying, "Bunny, you're exactly where you're supposed to be." And I know that this is what I'll say to that, Marlon, is God is so faithful to keep us. He is the keeping God. And in John 17, it talks about, you know, sanctify us through your word. Your word is truth. And him praying, Jesus praying that the Holy Spirit would keep the church, would keep his followers from the evil one. Is God not faithful enough to keep us? Do we think we're going to be corrupted? I would say, church, we cannot be corrupted if we walk in the presence of God and if we walk and stay in prayer, worship, and meditation on the Word. And so I think a lot of it, Marlon, is fear that we're going to get corrupted. And I believe that God is deeper than that, and He will watch us. And I've seen that in my life. Somehow I've been involved in this space for 20 years, and I still love Jesus. That's a miracle.
Amen. Amen. I also appreciate what you said about local officials. I am an elected official here in my town, and it's good to know that people are getting out and voting and supporting when you need their vote. So thank you. All right, let's take the first call. Go right ahead.
Yes. Martin Fisher, volunteering with the Christian Action Network. I appreciate having other organizations uniting people for action. I ask, is there a focus with your organization to get Christians specifically across partisan lines together to do our mission of being Christians, being God's people here on earth together? We're divided. Some of it is because a lot of Christians, and I've encountered this with my opinions of Trump. I already voted for him, so that's done. I know that there's a need to vote for him, but he is not some sort of paragon of virtue for God. He needs to repent and be saved, and we should be praying about that. But when I talk about that, people think I'm judging. And I'm thinking we need to get over this thing where one of the things is we think candidates and people in office need to be perfect, paragons of virtue. And so when we do support one, we kind of get into this Christian version of idolatry where we're lifting them up. They're going to do everything God wants to just perfect the nation and bring healing and stuff. Now, they're going to office because they're going to give us some representation. And we got to get more strategic in like emphasizing, what are you doing to emphasize that, no, we're not voting or looking for perfect people to run for office, and no, we're not going to worship them and idolize them because they're running and we're supporting them. We are doing things strategically.
I think we got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll answer that question. Yes, the answer is yes. We are talking in a very nonpartisan way. We have built the system and our ministry to help pastors be able to talk about pray, vote, engage without splitting their church in two, without losing tithing members, because frankly, that's the biggest thing they're worried about. But I believe the Holy Spirit is big enough to instruct people. If we give them the Word of God, which everybody can go on our website and see our amazing biblical platform comparison of what the Bible says on the issues, what Marxism says, the Democratic platform, and the Republican platform, if you want a great resource to help inform people. But there are a lot of issues that we can be working together on. Yes, in politics, we, quote unquote, when we get involved, have to pick teams. But we should be finding places of alignment. You know, in California, Gavin Newsom is signing a bill to protect children under the 18 from pornography on the internet. That was our Family Policy Council in California that is getting that done. We are seeing in Delaware, a very quote-unquote blue state, our Delaware Family Policy Council just got the Planned Parenthood shut down in one of the major cities in Delaware. Again, when we work together as Christians, we can really make a difference. And we have to find those places of unity and where we can work together. And yes, Jesus is not on the ballot. We have to pick between, imperfect people. Whoever wins the presidential election, we've got a lot of rebuilding to do within the social conservative movement and the Christian movement as far as politics. And I would highly recommend everybody pick up a copy of Dr. Michael Brown's book, Political Seduction of the Church, where he details out these dichotomies. We've got to be engaged. But we've got to watch our hearts and souls and not worship at the idol of a political candidate as well. So I'm 100% in agreement that, you know, we have to walk that fine line, and that's what we try to do at Christians Engaged.
All right, let's take the next call.
Hi, Marlon. Hi, Marlon and Ms. Pounds. This is Jose from California. I've got two quick comments, then two quick questions. Along with your book on Jesus and politics, I wanted to recommend a complementing book, Jesus is Involved in Politics by Neil Mammon. Very good, thorough book. Number two is, have you seen that Committee on Oversight and Accountability from a memo from September 19th, 2024 on the consequences of the Biden-Harris administration's mismanagement and policy failures? This is a balanced oversight committee, 55% Republican, 45% Democrat, pretty well balanced. And that's a great factual annotated report card on the Biden administration. Now, my question, have you seen Hispanic and youth switching over to Republican? My informal survey, I talk to young people everywhere and ask them, this inflation is horrible, this is your future, it's going down the tubes, and this international foreign policy is horrible. And three out of three young Hispanic that I've talked to most recently all said, we're voting for Trump. I said, why? I said, because he's better. Last question, a good candidate in my neighborhood, he has children, stands against school indoctrination, good budget policy, and he did not take money from the Victory Fund for homosexuals, but he is married to another man. How should I vote? Thanks and God bless.
Okay. Number one, I have not seen that report, the first report you brought up. I'll have to get a copy of that. Thanks for the heads up. Number two question. It just left my brain. What was the second question?
Put Jose back on.
Yeah, can you put him back on? I forgot the second question.
Yes, there he is.
Sorry for the laundry list, but it was young people and Hispanics and traditional
Hispanic
voters that have swung over.
Got it. Yes. We're speaking in a very nonpartisan way. We're ministering in all churches, multicultural churches. And I'm shocked at the reality of the education going on within the Latino and Hispanic community, because there is a huge shift happening. If even the New York Times put out a poll this last week, almost a 19-point shift, I believe was the number in some parts of the country with the Hispanic population. If Trump wins the presidency, which I can't predict either way on that right now, but if he does win, I believe it will be because of the Latino vote, 100%. So just know that that is a major trend. And they are starting to wake up that when you talk about economics and family policy, that the Republicans are the ones that are with them. The third question, you have to vote on the totality of the person's platform that they're running on. You have to look at, every single candidate race that you're voting in, you have to choose between imperfect people. You know, everybody's a sinner, everybody's got issues, but you have to look at the totality of what they believe and vote accordingly. Personally, as a Christian, I believe a fundamental issue is the right to life. I couldn't vote for a pro-choice candidate because I believe if they get that wrong, they really don't have much wisdom in any other area, but you have to make those choices as a believer.
Well, thank you, Bunny, for being on the call today. This was delightful. Lots of good information. What is the best way for people to be engaged? I mean, to be engaged with you and Christians Engaged in what you're doing.
Yeah, go to our website at christiansengaged.org. That's Christians with an S, engaged with a D.org. And again, every page on our website is going to ask you to take the pledge to pray, vote, engage. That gets you in our system. We only send a weekly email on Mondays, a pray, vote, engage discipleship email, and our voting reminders. So you're not going to get spammed. It's not overwhelming. But we'll help you never forget an election again. We'll remind you to pray and educate you. We have a weekly show, and our conference. We just had a Pray, Vote, and Engage conference in Dallas-Fort Worth this weekend. You can find all of those amazing services, three services, the completely restored live stream with incredible audio, and everything's on our YouTube channel, and you can find those on our website as well. But yeah, we'd love to connect with you and check out all our classes as too, and our church outreach program for your pastor.
Well, again, thank you for being on the call. We appreciate the work that you're doing, and I think the invitation was given very early in the call for all of us who are engaged to partner together and do the work that needs to be done. One organization, Bishop Jackson says this quite frequently, one organization, no matter how big, can accomplish all the work that needs to be done. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Marlon. Are you going to be praying at the end, or would you give me permission to pray over everybody?
Oh, would you do that, please? I would appreciate that.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for this time together, God. I thank you for every leader on this call. They're on this call because you've called them to a place of leadership, Lord. And, Lord, we just dedicate our hearts and lives to you right now, Lord. We want to be disciples in every part of our life, and we want to take this responsibility seriously, God, to be the salt and light in the hands and feet of Jesus in our culture. God, we're 36 days or however many days from this election, Lord, and we need your help in this nation. Let the church rise up. Let the church come to a place of repentance. And God, let it help us to speak the truth in love and to motivate people to do their civic duties at this critical moment. Lord, at the end of the day, it's not just about this election, but it's about this nation restoring keeping the republic, God, and we're two years from America's birthday and 250 years as a constitution. So, Lord, we thank you for guarding over this nation, and help us to love our neighbors well by electing righteous leaders all across this nation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Marlon.
Amen. Amen. You're very welcome. Thank you for leading us in that prayer. The next several weeks, we had been doing over the summer, we were doing a call every other week. In the month of October, we will be doing a call every Tuesday leading up to the election. Next week, our guest will be Dran Reese from Salt and Light. The following week, the 15th, J. Christian Adams. The 22nd, Ken Blackwell. And then Bishop Jackson will be concluding the month of October 1 week before the election with last minute, what do we need to know about this election? So stay with us through the month of October. I know it's a busy month. Everybody's doing a lot of work to lead up to this. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And so we just thank you for your involvement in what is happening. I mentioned earlier the letter that went out yesterday. The largest gospel station in Atlanta turned down an ad that Bishop made to encourage Christians to vote their values and not party personality, I forget what the SP was, but anyway, the encouragement is to contact, if you haven't seen the letter, contact me PastorMarlon@standinc.net. I'll make sure you get a copy of it. But contact the station. Let them know that you're not pleased with their response. Apparently, it may be a gospel station, but the attitude is not gospel. Contact the station. Let them know that you're not pleased with their decision. We need your support financially. Excuse me. We need to continue to we're running ads this week in Georgia, and I think some of those ads probably won't start till next week because of the hurricane. But we are running ads. But we would like to inundate Georgia, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina with these ads, and so we need your support. You can donate to Stand Foundation at standamerica.us. if you don't mind not getting a tax deduction, and you can also donate at StandAmericaPAC.us. Those ads were more political, aimed at supporting and encouraging people to vote for Donald Trump. So either way, we appreciate your support. As Bishop always says, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we do not quit, because we are on God's side.